Foreigners, two languages, one unexpected conversation. Welcome to No Prep Talk. With you today, Romeo, Joanna, and Prusilla.
Is it recording? It is. Welcome everyone to this week's topic.
Hi. Hey.
So, I know it's almost ubiquitous that everybody uses social media nowadays, whichever platform you decide to use. I haven't used social media for a while, but I think that both you, Joanna, and Romeo use it for different purposes in terms of the type of content that you put in there. So having that in mind, I wanted to share with you first an intro on a person called Justine Sacco. I think that's how you pronounce it. Does that name ring a bell?
Not Justine really. Sacco.
Yeah.
Is she a famous Instagrammer?
No, she isn't. Let me introduce why her case is interesting for the conversation, and then I'll just throw you both some questions about it and about how you use social media, and we could take it from there.
Okay. Yeah.
So basically, running through my notes now, December 2013, so this was almost 7 years ago, Justine Sacco, which then I believe was a PR person for the company that she was working at, she tweeted to her then 170 followers back then, she had the following. She tweeted her following before taking her flight to South Africa. Going to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS. Just kidding, I'm white. Exactly. So for context, ever since she took the plane, I think from the US, she was tweeting like different stuff along these lines. This took like 11 hours, the flight. So it was a long journey, but you know, she did a few jokes here and there. And her intent was to mock her own privilege as a white person. So she took the last flight to South Africa, which took, I don't know how many hours to get there. By the time she'd landed, she would have become by then the number worldwide trend topic on Twitter. And 100,000 tweets later about, you know, hashtag Justine Sacco and so on, led to her a couple of weeks later being fired from her job. I think it was a few weeks later, because probably it was took some time to digest what had just happened.
Yeah, I think for this probably the managers had to find out what is Twitter first, and then
maybe back then it's already big, but maybe not big enough. I think this touches on quite a big topic in terms of, you know, free speech discussion. But I wanted to make it more palatable and kind of take just part of that discussion and connect it to the social media bit. And then I think my first question for you both is, how do you see your own voice on social media? And you can even specify the platform you use the most. And in what way do you limit what the kind of stuff that you put out there?
So who starts?
Whoever.
You're much more active than I am on social media, Joanne. So perhaps
not really.
Take a go.
So first of all, I want to say that this is a very interesting, very trending topic. The canceling culture, very interesting to discuss, and I'm actually very excited now that I'm here to talk about this with you guys. So congrats, Elder, for bringing such a hot topic to the table. So if you go into my Instagram account, my bio is love/hate for social media. That's one of the things I say on my Instagram account to anybody who goes in there to see my pictures. So I'm a user, but I'm not a very heavy user, because I know how hooked up you can turn to be into social media, and I totally want to avoid that. So in my case, I use my account to not as much as sharing content about me or sharing, you know, things that I do or places that I go, but more like to create connections. To be honest, the only reason why I still have my Facebook account active is because I, you know, I can contact people through Facebook that I have no other means to contact. You know, I don't have their number, I don't see them regularly. So Facebook, it's I think it's a great tool to contact people that you don't see as much, or you have no other ways to contact them. It's also a very good way of, and that's why I still use it, is because, you know, everything that goes on in places near you, in your city, let's say, you know, the events are usually on Facebook because people post them on Facebook. Events are actually sometimes organized through these events on Facebook. So if you're not on Facebook, you're probably going to miss them. So that's why I still am on Facebook, because I like to do a lot of things, and I like to, I am a very active person in terms of culture, and I like cultural events, and everything is on Facebook now. So that's how I get access and information about things that happened in the place that I live, that I can go to. So yeah, that's the only reason why I still use Facebook.
That's the, before going to you, Romeo, just to clarify, you said, so it's an informative piece in, as in you get to know the events around you. So it's also in a reactive sense, like things come to you and then you can use it or not. But it is in terms of what you post, if anything, what you post, what would be the sort of things that you post about or post of, if anything? I don't know. I don't know.
So again, I do post sometimes things about, like, pictures of me. Like if I go on holidays, I might post like a picture or two, but that's not my main activity on my social media. I also more recently have been using it to make stances about about, you know, opinions that I have about different topics. I do that sometimes too. And I also, let's say if I see about a certain topic, if I see someone that posts something, you know, very interesting, a piece of information that I feel that it should be out there in the world, I read it myself, and I also share it with others just so others can also see the same thing. So that, I think it's important.
Okay, fair enough. What about you, Mr. Veloso?
Well, first I have to say that Joanna, yes, she doesn't post that much pictures about herself. I see her cat much more. I think that's a nice way to be. You just share a bit of your life with the people that are around you and all of that. I do that very little. I try to be neutral, and I try to preserve that my image perhaps, but nobody really cares. So it's just, you know, like you share stuff with the world, it positions you a bit somehow. And my personality is maybe much more exuberant in day-to-day life than it is on the internet. I do a bit what Joanna does as well. If I do see things that I feel strongly about, those being articles or images with some sort of criticism or with some form of a point, or I tend to share them as well. Also, news that I find are important. Let's say the first time that something in particular happens that I think may change the world, I may posted as you know, some form of celebration or such. What I especially use social media for when I'm not trying to avoid using social media is how my friends are and how the world is. I use it a bit as well to tickle my sense of humor. So I try to follow a couple of groups that have somewhat a similar sense of humor to my own, so that I can, I don't know, update my short list of jokes or so. I, at some point, questioned myself if it was worth it to become some sort of a social media activist. But I don't know where you're leading the conversation today, Elde, but my conclusion has been, yes, I would love to, but the social media world, or the world forum, which is present in social media, is not worth my effort, either because I'm going to get upset with the people that comment my stuff for either being aggressive or for having a point of view which I only barely respect, if I even respect it. So I have made attempts to give my opinion on specific matters, particularly things like racism. I've been feeling strongly about for many years since I moved to Ireland. But now I sort of just share other people's opinions rather than just making my own view being heard, because it triggers things online that I'm not comfortable with. So I tend to be neutral. So that's pretty much where I am.
I prefer to have those conversations the way we are doing it, for instance.
I think it's a bit risky.
There will always be a level of risk if you do anything on the internet, be it social media or otherwise. I think that's inherent there. I think you use an interesting word there, Romeo, which is the being neutral. How do you think you are neutral when you either share something or comment something in terms of content that you see on social media?
Well, we easily can have an opinion about pretty much anything that we see on the internet. I like this post, I don't like that post. This joke is funny, that joke isn't. And there are people that are getting, and it's not now, it's been there for a few years, people are getting super professional about it. The trolls on the internet, like you have people just whose focus in life when they, I don't know if they have jobs or school or whatever it is, when they leave the real world, they get into the internet and they make it an art to either agree or disagree with pretty much everything that is there by putting memes that are related or not, if they really aren't that good at it. But I try to avoid that. If I do feel something about a specific post, I may like it, but I'm not going to comment on 1,000 things. Also, I don't really want people to be that much aware of what my stance is about anything, really. Maybe apart from racism or feminism or a very limited number of things that I would believe should be universal. If there is something divisive, like something like, should we have more higher taxes on this specific product or not? Like that's too much of a detail, and it shows political orientation and stuff like that. I prefer to go for something a bit more, something that I would consider reasonable to be a consensual opinion. So that's where I put neutrality in. Also football, you know, like religion, that sort of thing. I may have my own view on God or gods, but that's my view. I don't need to infest the internet with my views, as much as I don't need the internet to infest my my social media, my newsroom with their own views. So I try to stay somewhere clear of the noise.
That, I think that's that pretty much having those conversations in person is already a bit risky these days. People get too worked up about things, and you know, they start arguing aggressively and so on, especially about football, politics, religion, etc. Never mind in social media, where you know, the internet creates the perfect environment for bullies to go and attack other people without facing any consequences. So, yeah, I agree with you, Romeo. I don't like to share too much or having discussions online about, you know, personal stuff either for that reason. Yeah.
So how would you define, so when you mentioned neutrality, Romeo, I think it has to do with this notion of recognizing the environment that you can encounter on social media platforms. You sort of limit yourself in terms of how far you go into commenting or choosing certain topics, and it seems like you do the same, Joanna. So my next question is, following that reasoning, when you are about to post, let's say on Facebook, just for the sake of exercise, how do you know, what do you use in terms of criteria to allow yourself to post that content? Meaning, for example, is it the topic itself at hand? You want to share a news article, but you know, oh, this is racist, it's about racism, so I know this is going to trigger people, therefore I'm not going to post it. Or is it something like, I know I'm a part of certain groups, they're going to see this, or, you know, I'm not sure about the content of what I'm sharing, I don't want it 10 years from now somebody looking into it. What are the sort of the main criteria that goes in your mind when you're about to post something?
So the reason why I don't use Facebook as much is because you can't really control that, whereas in Instagram you can, by one, making your account a private account, so you know, no random people can just go in there and make comments to your pictures and so on. And you can choose who, let's say you can choose who sees your Instagram stories, for example. I have different groups with which I share some things. I block some people from seeing things that I don't want them to see, especially people from work. Let's say I do that because otherwise I wouldn't be comfortable with sharing stuff on my account. And
your cat. You hide things, you say, just for people that might hear this. You don't want to share your cat with people. It's not something shocking, of course.
So the things that I share, when I share, it's seen just by my friends or, you know, closer people. It's not by everybody. So I know, with what I can count because I know my friends and, you know, we are like-minded. So they're going to have more or less the same opinions that I have. And even if they want to start a conversation about something, I know that they're not going to be, you know, aggressive or rude, or because they're my friends. So that's one way to control for that. That's what I do.
So it would be by the people that you know are in the platform itself. I just use Facebook as an example. Let's say Instagram. You know that the people that are there that can see your content, you're comfortable with sharing that. And that either way, if you're not comfortable with that, you wouldn't share it, based on the people that are there, right?
I do pick people from work to not see certain things, though. I make that distinction between, you know, my group of friends. But as you can't do that on Facebook, that's why I don't really share anything on Facebook these days.
Okay. What about you, Romeo? Do you do this sort of targeting to different audiences?
I don't because particularly I don't want to waste my time.
You don't. So
basically, if I
it's just like press a button, and then it goes out.
And Joanna, I know.
New technology.
Without wanting to be, without being sure of this, and without wanting to say that you might be wrong in anything, you're a reputed scientist. Far from me to say that you're wrong, but it might be possible on Facebook to target different people as well. It's just it's a lot of work specifically for me to list people in different groups.
Well, it's not for
even
me.
If it's
I have like 5 followers, so I'm good.
The most influential scientist. I would say it's either something that everybody can see or I don't post it. And then there's the other level, which is in the long run, happy will I be with having posted this content? And so for me, there's some sort of also how relevant the content is and how well it will age with time. So I started with time, I started being a bit more, let's say, you just want to celebrate birthdays, really. You don't want to celebrate the International Day of your children and the International Day of Ants and what you know, like you want to start shortlisting the things that you celebrate. And for me, to post something isn't just to think out loud. For me to post something is to in a way celebrate humor, celebrate the moment that I'm having, celebrate an opinion or an event that I find particularly notable. So for me, differently from other people and other people's positions on social media, for me, I just post something if I do find myself with the time for it, or if the moment is amazing, and if it's something that I feel will age well in 10 years' time, I will look back and try to see my year of 2020, and I'll go, okay, the things that I posted represent how I felt that year. So that is my process, I'd say.
That's a very deep analysis. I'm not as conscient as you in regards to my of the content that I share.
I'm an old man.
It's as good as any strategy. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what follows from that is for some people, there might be a stronger concern about the long run in terms of what you post today. How can it be seen 10 years from now? And I think Romeo touched on that. Connecting to the initial case we had with Justine, how would you guys feel if a company / a friend, acquaintance, somebody in the real world, let's call it for the sake of the example I'm bringing, would criticize or ask you more about something you share on social media? So let's say you go out with friends, you meet other friends for the first time. Oh, and then they check you out on Facebook and say, oh, you posted about this. You know, how comfortable would you feel if there would be like a spillover effect between this virtual platform where you posted something, you know, given the nature of the platform, what it means to you, having that this transition to suddenly in a conversation face-to-face in a social setting or potentially in an interview where somebody brings something you posted and suddenly you're faced with that. How would that make you feel if that were to happen?
Are you considering friends from work or just friends in general?
It could be any of those. It's just any situation where you'd see a clear line between your, let's say, your social media persona,
yeah,
somebody that, you know, you post about specific content because it's that platform, But then the real world, be it a social setting or even an interview, I think it's an interesting recruitment process. If somebody, you know, faces you with, you know, you posted about this, or you had an opinion on this, if you were to be in that situation, how would you feel about somebody bringing that up? Would they, or maybe it doesn't make a difference, you're happy with it?
I mean, I tend to pick my battles. I wouldn't start a conversation on, you know, if the topic is very there's controversy around the topic, I try to pick my battles and don't start the conversation every time someone brings it up, because it's, you know, most of the times you're just, you know, talking with the other person and nothing really significant is being said. You're not learning anything. You're just, you know, hearing the person trying to say things that you don't agree with, and you know your position very well, and you just don't want to be, you know, discuss that with that person. But if I see that the person has like a genuine interest in, you know, talking about something or learning about something, then I will be open to an honest conversation about it, and I will happily share my thoughts. I will hear the other person, and yeah, it makes no confusion. It's not confusing to me to discuss something with someone outside of the internet about something that I've posted. If I posted, it means that I do have a strong opinion, or I am willing to talk about it with other people, because otherwise I just wouldn't.
I think the interesting bit there that I think happened in this case is when Justine and you, as an analogy, posted something, she thought she was posting to 170 people. You think you're posting to specifically your friends, right? And therefore you were comfortable posting, you understand that they would assume good intentions and so on. But suddenly she was confronted with a scenario that everybody got to read that and interpret in their own way. So if you were to happen to be in that situation, how would you feel?
She was fired because of her specific opinion. I know it was a joke, but probably, you know, people from her job didn't really interpret it as a joke. And she was fired not because she posted and it was seen by millions of people, but because of her specific opinion about the subject. That's canceling culture. That's another very big topic.
You can follow from there. Like in this case, you think her joke was an opinion. She might not think the same. She just wanted to kind of state her mind without, in her case, actually, she wanted to portray the white privilege, but she was misinterpreted. You could be posting still about a place you've been, or your cat, or something you read, it can be perceived as an opinion. Imagine now that you would be caught off guard and somebody presents it to you. Oh, I've saw this. I brought the example of the interview because it's usually a serious context. And then somebody throws you a curveball of, you know, oh, actually, I just noticed that on LinkedIn you posted on X, Y, and Z. And suddenly you might be thrown off. But I think you brought to the point of everything I post, or most of the things I post, you would be comfortable if they were to be seen by other people and they wanted to discuss, you would just choose whether to continue or engage in that discussion or not.
Right? Yeah, that's what I think I would do.
What about you, Romeo?
Well, I'm much more conscious of what I post. Even if I try to restrict who gets to see it, the internet is a very big place. And it's very easy if I don't trust every single person fully who's in that network, it's very easy for anything that I post to come out. What I'm saying isn't that I can't trust my friends. That's not it. my network is bigger than just my friends. It's friends, acquaintances, people of interest, either being clients or somebody from work or whatever. So we're talking about a large network that, because of that, isn't that much aware of my opinions, and I care to keep it that way. When I say a joke, and there's the risk of it being misinterpreted, then yes, absolutely. It's not I am to blame, but yes, a bit. I am responsible for whatever I post in what is a public forum, even if I try to restrict it. And that's why when you're with your close friends and somebody is recording you in secret, that may be considered either a crime or something that can if it can be used against you, it has to be, you have to give permission for that. And if you post something online, you're automatically giving permission. Whereas if you're in a circle of friends and somebody's recording and then uses that information, or you know, like if the parallel of real life, if people use information you give them, you can use it against them. You can say, hey, what you did is to steal information that wasn't yours. I was saying things in private. I did not authorize you to share that information. So that's I would say, to add to that, just being conscious of the other side of the business side. Should we keep an employee that has made public and has made very public something that doesn't reflect the values of the company? Well, sometimes things get so big in an unfair way, but that things get so big that they can damage the company. And then it becomes a matter of conflict between the company and the employee or former employee.
But do you think
it becomes a matter for thought?
But do you think someone should be fired for giving an opinion online?
No. What I think is the law allows for people to be fired if their opinion or if their image is reflecting poorly on the company's image. So that's the real problem. So the challenge isn't, should we judge people in the public forum? No, we shouldn't. But the public forum is public, and so everything that you do there is contributing for your brand, let's say. And the company and their employees are part of that brand. Or saying the other way around, the employees are a part of the brand of the company. So everything that you do publicly can reflect on your company. And your company may not be comfortable with what you do. So that's the challenge. I'm not saying the company should fire everybody that has a different opinion. No, not that at all. What I'm saying is, if I'm an activist for white supremacy in a company that is trying to portray itself as a diverse company, then I'm putting the company in a position in which they either defend me, defending something they're against, or they defend themselves by replacing me.
Okay, that's.
Go ahead.
I'm just thinking about a very specific case. I mean, it didn't happen on the internet at all, but it's related to, you know, someone being cancelled, let's say, for giving an opinion on social media. So let's say, and I'm talking about this because it's actually hard for me to grasp with this concept, and I want to know your opinions on this. So let's say, are you guys fan of Michael Jackson? You like him. You like his songs. You like him as an
artist. Michael Jackson, yeah.
Michael Jackson. I mean, I consider him to be one of the greatest artists alive in terms of singing, dancing, performer, everything. However, people are canceling him because they are, you know, stopping hearing his songs, buying his albums, and so on, because he's apparently he's a sexual predator of young children. And I want to know what's your opinion on this. Do you guys, have you canceled him? Do you think it's correct to cancel someone like that and, you know, start consuming his songs and his stuff?
Well, I think connecting what you said with what Romeo was saying about company having the employees' actions reflect on the company's image, I think is a little bit of that when you talk about artists where their personal lives affect their own art. So in both cases, for me, where I stand, which is not a definitive position, but it's kind of how much I've thought about it, is in the case of Michael Jackson, it would be if I were to realize that a lot of his musics or a lot of his music and his work process and the people he collaborated were a reflection of these alleged accusations. I don't think it has been fully proven, but let's assume they were. If suddenly you realize that a lot of his work was affecting the lives of children in a negative way, I think that will change my perception of his art. The way I see it at the moment is there's a separation between that life that he had and the things he was accused of and all of his art. So I can separate the man and the art and still enjoy his music and admire him as the biggest or one of the biggest pop stars. For the case that Romeo was mentioning in terms of, you know, if you have a white supremacist or activist in your company, the only thing I would add there from what Romeo said would be probably if his actions in the workplace didn't reflect anything in his attitudes about the way he sees his activism, I'm not sure I would kind of support him or her being fired, just because if I then replace the white supremacy with a hobby or with an opinion that gave 10 years ago, I want it to be the same process that I would do for that person to understand whether they're part of the culture. So if I say a joke in my social media, and that's part of who I am and that the platform is with my friends, and they know the intent, I don't think it makes sense that the workplace, that they fire me. Now, if I say that joke in the workplace and I know that the people might, they don't know me probably well, they might misinterpret it and so on, it's a lot riskier and might make sense that the company thinks this is counterculture. So I'm just separating the way you do things and how it reflects on the culture, which is the same process for Michael Jackson and his art. If his art was really driven by the fact that he liked little kids and he was doing X, Y, and Z, then probably I would have a problem. But at the moment, I wouldn't see a connection there.
I mean, Michael Jackson was just one example. There are so many others these days that we didn't know about 10 years ago. But yeah, so sorry, Romeo.
No, I'll grab something that Stiga said first, and then I'll go to your question, because I think your question is very interesting and to the point of what we're discussing. Elder, what I'm just conscious is we're doing this for the laugh. We have no intent of making this into a business or something. So eventually we'll publish something like this on the internet. I don't know exactly where I'll be in 5 years or 10 years time, but I do know that I've had in previous professions, I've had responsibility managing people and dealing with the law regarding should we keep somebody or should we not keep somebody, that sort of thing. So focusing a bit on employment law. And I would say I'm very cautious in saying something different now, because that could be used against me in 5 years' time. If I'm applying to a job and they look for stuff regarding, I don't know, my past or something, they come across this podcast that we're doing, touching social media, and they go like, oh, okay, we've heard what you said, and we're not very comfortable with that, because you're suggesting that we can keep a white supremacist in our company. So this is really not the position that we want to have as managers. So you wouldn't be representing us, and you publicly said something that goes against our principles. So I think that just this, and this isn't social media, this would be a podcast, this would be somewhere else, but it would be in the public forum, and therefore in the public eye, it would be acceptable for future employees of mine to go back in time and say, look, there's something you said that may not be very comfortable for us, because it touches part of what we do here, or your job, your specific job. So, you know, like, unfortunately, we're not very comfortable with how you see things. And if I was to be fired or not, or if I was to be disrespected by people in my team because they would feel that my positions would be controversial or whatever, not, that is a door that I'm opening by making public my positions, and that is a problem. But going towards art, it is an extension of this, of course. So I do think that what you were saying, Elde, makes perfect sense. The art and the actions of the man, the artist and the man, can be separated to a certain extent. I'm going to give an example that gives away a bit my beliefs. I'm not a Christian, and I'm not that religious. So it came as a surprise for me that an artist that I follow, Sufjan Stevens, is a devout, but more than that, sometimes somewhat of an activist. So one thing is for him to be that. Another thing is for him to make songs that, or go farther, try to lead towards that. So the thing is, for the most part, when I listen to his music, I don't hear a calling to follow his belief. So I'm still comfortable with that sort of with that line. But if by any chance there's a song of his that says, come to the Lord, then I put a stop to it. Then I say, okay, there's a parallel world in which propaganda is being made. And I try to avoid going down that road, particularly if it's something against my own beliefs. In this case, in the case of Michael Jackson, we could talk about 1,000 cases, really. In the case of Michael Jackson, yes. He has not been proven guilty of anything, particularly also because he already is dead. So we can't really judge him publicly, but he can't be judged anymore. So the question is, do we give him money or not? We're not giving him money anymore. So it's sort of okay to listen to his music. But if he was to be alive, the same way that other public personalities, public people, figures, were accused and faced court, I think that if there is enough evidence to get him to court, then he should be put in that situation, which is something different from us judging him publicly. We should be cautious about that. And finally, completely different from liking a song. So that's how I see the whole thing.
I think that, like, as Elder and you said, Romeo, up to a certain point, I can distinguish the artist from the person who committed the crime, unless I don't relate to the crime. Let's say, I'll give you an example. So I started reading Nietzsche, you know, the philosopher, a while ago. I was actually enjoying the reading until I found out that I know he was a man who was born in the last century, but I learned that he was a huge misogynist. So, and that's actually, you can see that in his books. So he, you know, writes about it. You can see that he hates women. He, you know, writes about them in a very, very pejorative way. It's horrible. So I was enjoying the reading until I come across that type of language in his book. And then I was like, you know, trying to make an effort, you know, insisting on it. Oh, okay, it's just one page. Maybe the next page will be better. But then it didn't really stop. And then I stopped reading because I just couldn't read it anymore. It actually offended me. So I just couldn't read it anymore. Still a very relevant philosopher these days. You know, people still are very interested in his philosophy and, you know, very relevant in different aspects of life. And but he was terrible in terms of his opinion on women.
I think there's an interesting discussion to be had there on... In this case you described, it feels like the language he used is what bothered you, not so much knowing that he was being a misogynist as a person. Meaning, if he had not used that language, if you had not discovered misogyny in his work, you might have continued, even though you could have heard from other sources that he was a misogynist. So there might be a separation that you're doing, whether how much you are affected by his attitudes, right?
You know, it's not just the language, it's the actual things that he says in his books. One of the things I remember is him saying that women have no soul, for example. Mm. So this is one of the things I completely agree with him. Sorry?
I
completely agree with him.
Before we derail the conversation.
In 10 years time, somebody says, you actually said women have no soul. Well, my belief is, like women, men do not have a soul either. So yeah. That's why I agree with him.
This is just another example of the same, of the, you know, the similar thing.
I think one connection there, because it has been a common theme in all of your answers, is whether or not you can say something because of the danger of what is being said at that time can be used or misinterpreted either in that time specifically or in the later future. So I think my last question here is, given the example we started off with, given how you guys use social media, do you think you will always have a need or want to use a sort of social media platform or public forum, however you want to name it? Or do you think that given what seems to be a progressive evolution of these platforms becoming more divisive and more polarizing and harder to actually, you know, post about anything if you want, you're going to end up not using them? If you had to predict, obviously, your behavior.
Oh, I'm already considering not to use them, and we are not even at that stage. So yes, I would consider that.
Well, if I would just say we tend to think of the birth of social media with the birth of birth and the spread of Facebook, and that's not exactly the case. We tend to forget that social media comes in waves, And the reason why Facebook started was because there had been so many different attempts to be the social media that would rule the world. Also, we're in a small part of the world, not small, but we're in a part of the world where Facebook prevails. But if you go to Eastern countries or if you go to China, if you go to Russia, it's not the case. They have parallel social media. And at the same time, even though Facebook is doing a really good job in terms of keeping its status, it has already been replaced. So I remember I used a platform called High Five. I think that was the name. There was a platform that was fairly common for people to have called High Five, and everybody was on it until it got disrupted by lack of, I don't know, control of the type of posts. So they started having all sorts of different spam pretending to be people. And so people started disconnecting from that. And that was replaced by another one. And people start being spanned by something else. And what Facebook has done well was updating their, people think it's, oh, they're removing my liberties and stuff. No, they've been updating their terms and conditions continuously to avoid becoming obsolete. First, to make money, yes, but second, to avoid becoming obsolete, not to control where you are and where you buy your stuff, but to avoid that the spam would take over. And they've done a fairly good job at it, even though every now and then there is spam and they try to fix it somehow. But they've already been replaced. If you ask anybody who's 20 years old or less, if they have Facebook or if they have Instagram, it's much more likely that they'll have Instagram than Facebook.
True.
And it comes in waves. We're getting older, so
I just want to clarify the question. Is the question wasn't, will there be always social media platforms and whether kind of the finish? I definitely agree with that. The question was more personal. In your current assessment, will you use, you know, I think Joanna said, you know, I'm slowly fading out of it. Are you in that phase as well? Do you think you'll always use in different capacities, maybe social media, or is something that you don't see kind of happening in the future for you specifically?
Well, I see, then in that case, I would say I see myself still being in social media because it's still a means to keep in touch with people from the past, especially if you travel a bit, you get friends from different places and you can't be with them every second week. And also because it's a great way to be informed about the world. Even if, like Nietzsche's opinions were those of someone deplorable, someone that you really don't want to be around. So are Hitler's or Stalin's or whoever's that are shocking, but it might be interesting for us to know about, even if we're not really comfortable with. And that goes for any social media, even if it's filled with fascists, like people say that Facebook is becoming. Even if that is the case, well, I prefer to know that they're there than not to know what's happening. So I'll always be in some form of social media, this one or the next one or the other one, just because it's better to be informed. Will I be active? Will I be posting? Probably less, but I'm already in that stage in which I'm maybe I'm posting once every month instead of once every week or once every second day as I was in the beginning. But the social media, and again, specifically, I think Facebook were the ones doing it. People started slowing down their posts. So they made the stories. So now you can post something and be comfortable because that's gone. And now there are people that look at the stories more than they look at the at their news feed. So yeah. As social media, yeah. As trends happen, people change and social media follow.
Oh, yeah. I think Facebook is becoming obsolete. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. They're listening. They're listening.
Yeah.
Well, that was, I don't know if you guys want to add anything else. I think pretty much I wanted to kind of explore from a specific case a little bit your own personal views on how you use social media, but also check how, in what kind of awareness you have about the misuse or usage that some people choose to give, and how would that define also the short-term future for you guys? Will you kind of continue using them or not?
I do think that the policies around protecting you on the internet, like, you know, data protection and so on, that's what I hope for. But I think they are going to get better, not worse, you know?
And that will be part two of this conversation. I would pin it there because I think that it's an interesting point that you take, especially on a GDPR conference that we had very recently. And thank you guys for kind of sharing that. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Yeah.
Yay.
Bye.
Okay.